responsible.
And we are going to say now.
Please go to www.freeleonardpeltiernow.org and miigwech to you.
Well, thank you, thank Paulette you. Robidoux, Dan Bactalia, Joelle Clark Kills Crow Indian, Don Lawson, Jennifer Jones. We'll have you back. Free, free Leonard Peltier as we go out with the music of Carlos Nakai. Thank you all for listening. Educate, agitate, organize to bring Leonard Peltier home. I'm Mimi Rosenberg for Equal Rights and Justice. Thanks for rallying with us.
This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
Bush and Bin Laden, you think they're foes? They're in business together. Daddy Bush knows the Carlyle Group since years before been raking in billions and itching for more. It's blood for oil. We know there's a link. They say code war.
We say code pink.
It's blood for oil. We know there's a link. They say code war.
We say code pink.
Code pink for freedom. Code pink for peace. Code pink to hunger and war have ceased. Code pink for women, boys, men, and girls. Together we'll make peace.
It's Saddam, really, terror, they say. We trained him to be a man when our enemy was not Iraq, but Iraq.
That was Code Pink by Emma's Revolution. I'm Danica from Code Pink. Welcome to our Code Pink radio show presented by WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston, KPFK 90.7 FM at Los Angeles, and many other community radio stations like Western Massachusetts Community Broadcasting, WMCBLP 107.9 FM. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Check out our website at www.codepink.org/radio, where you'll find all of our episodes from episode one to our most recent. I'm very, very excited about this episode because I get to interview my friends from All Power Books in Los Angeles. I'm here with Savannah, Nato, and Kat. Welcome, y'all. Thanks for joining.
Hi, Danica.
Thank you so much for being here. I just wanted to, I feel like when I learned about All Power Books, it was just such a unique and cool thing for like me to learn from all of you. And we all met in Cuba. I met Nato in LA last year, but Kat and Savannah and I met in Cuba. And I wanted to teach our listeners and Code Pinkers about the work that y'all do and how solidarity work folds into the internationalist movement and anti-war movement. So for our listeners, what is All Power Books?
All Power Books is a socialist bookshop and community space. We provide direct material aid and a space for organizations to meet and host events. We're a safe place to learn and empower ourselves and the working class. We are community ran or community supported and volunteer ran, just a space for the people and by the people.
Thanks, Savannah. Can maybe like Kat or Nato tell me about like what the day-to-day sort of operations look like?
Yeah, for sure. So because we are a bookshop in community space, the bookshop portion, you know, requires a little bit of day-to-day maintenance on you know, keeping track of merchandise, you know, keeping track of the finances, kind of figuring out how to keep the lights on, basically. And, you know, talking to people who come in and who want to learn more about either All Power or learn how to get involved or kind of just talk at large about, you know, communism as a whole. And we also do a lot of work with our direct neighbors. So a lot of the times we will have our neighbors come in and hang out while we're open and kind of just take advantage of you know, having a third space open to them, and providing, you know, whatever they need. Sometimes they need coffee. Sometimes they need a ride home. Sometimes they need, you know, just someone to talk to. And that's, you know, what we pretty much do on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you. Nata, did you want to add anything?
I think Kat covered most of what we do, but I think that what's important is that there's a lot of invisible labor that goes into maintaining All Power. I think like cleaning, maintaining the space, making it sure that it's like welcoming to everyone, taking care of Gigi, for example, the cat that is there. I think that, you know, talking to our neighbors sometimes can be like fun, but also it could also be a lot of like problem solving, a lot of like figuring out different solutions to different problems. Some people come in, they need tents. Some people come in, they need assistance with rent payment and stuff like that. So we're trying to find resources for them or like contacts for them. So there's a lot of things that are like unseen, maybe like on social media or like when people walk in. So that's the kind of like invisible labor that we do, is sometimes that is not really seen on the public's eyes.
Thank you. Why did y'all start All Power? How did it start, and what are your stories behind getting into this sort of organizing? All three of you can answer the last part, I think.
So Sav and I met through doing mutual aid in a different organization and protesting in 2020, and we got really close to each other, and we realized that we had a lot in common politically, and, you know, had a lot of the same idea when it came to, you know, how to organize. So we, Sav and Jesse came up with, you know, the idea of what if we opened up a physical community space? And it kind of just snowballed from there. Sav can probably talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah, it was really exciting because All Power Books has had its start in a pop-up tent in Venice. Which is just so funny to think about. We did our mutual aid out of a little pop-up tent on a sidewalk. We met a ton of other organizers, not a ton, I guess probably like five or six other organizers that, shared our same level of wanting to build a space to create a space that could offer political education as well as mutual aid. We saw a need for a third space in Los Angeles where you didn't have to spend money to be able to use its services. And so from that little pop-up tent from our other organization, we just started looking around for spaces and crowdfunded the rent to open this, with just building that sort of relationship with the community that we were striving for with the pop-up tent. Nato, how did you get involved in All Power?
Well, I was trying to get involved into more organizing in general. And I met All Power. I met Savannah, Kat, you know, Andy, Gage, everyone that was there. And we kind of just clicked. You know, I just started showing up. I started to take initiatives. I started to see where we could improve in certain areas. So just started to get more involved, and it just became like a natural part of my day-to-day life, or just day-to-day organizing. And I just got onboarded, and here I am.
Sweet. And All Power, I've been very lucky to be able to visit, which was awesome. It's in the West Adams neighborhood of LA, is that correct? So can you tell us a little bit about the neighborhood and how it's been received by that immediate community, and then maybe more broadly by like LA as a whole?
Yeah, All Power, I feel like has been received very well in the West Adams community. Before we opened up the space, we were very conscious of every step along the way. So we had scoured different neighborhoods in Los Angeles. We wanted to find a neighborhood that was in a food desert so that we could provide immediate relief and food to people. So we wanted to also find a place that wasn't necessarily dominated by rentals. So we wanted to find a neighborhood that had single housing. What do you call that? Single family homes?
Yeah, single family homes. Yeah.
And so we canvassed the area, me and my partner, Jesse, and we were talking to some people about what a space, what they would feel about having a space like that open in this, you know, predominantly Black and brown neighborhood. And because the neighborhood is already so radical, they have such, you know, it was a hotspot for Black Panther Party members in the 70s. And because of all that, they were really, really open to the idea. So when we opened, we did a lot of community work and asked a lot of people what they, you know, what they would appreciate being in the neighborhood. We met some neighborhood council members who had lived in the neighborhood for, you know, decades and decades. And just the overall reception was very, very well received. So that was exciting. It's been really exciting getting to know the neighborhood because of its radical roots. It's just been so inspiring to build with people who have already pushed that wheel towards progress forward. And then just to help them and that, help move that along. I think Kat could probably speak more on it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I will say that, you know, a lot of the times, you know, neighbors, well, when we started, you know, neighbors had some kind of, you know, healthy skepticism about what we were trying to accomplish, what we stood for, you know, because so many people hear the word socialist or communist and have a very quick reaction because of what they have been told and taught throughout their lives. But, you know, eventually talking to us and then, you know, learning about what we stood for and what we were trying to do in the neighborhood, they, you know, very quickly warmed up to us and very quickly, you know, kind of understood where we were coming from and were very, you know, happy to receive us in the neighborhood. And, you know, we do hear a lot from neighbors who frequent the shop now that they're, you know, they're happy that we're here and they love us being here and they feel like, you know, very comfortable and at home in our space, which is, you know, one of the things that we strove to provide when we first opened.
Are there any specific stories or memories from like your time at All Power that stick out to you?
I had a situation that happened recently that honestly made me cry so hard. I was working one day and like Kat and Nato said, our day to day is a lot of unseen labor, emotional and physical. I had a single mom come into All Power Books who had been living in her car. And so throughout the day, we spent a lot of time together. I got to learn her situation. I got to meet her son because she had a child with her. And we made her a gift bag filled with a bunch of different things. We got her a tent. We got her blankets, I believe. And it was just another day for me. It was, you know, just someone comes in and you immediately help. We use all of our resources to try to help anyone that comes in and asks. I kind of, unfortunately, I just like kind of, it was just another day for me. So I forgot totally about it until months and months and months later, she came back in and I guess had Jesse was working. So he was talking to her and he was like, there's a woman here that wants to talk to you. And I was like, what's her name? I couldn't remember who she was. And I went back in and she's like, do you remember me? And when I saw her face, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, I do. Hi, it's so nice to see you. And she started crying and was like, after I had your help with the bookstore, we got, you know, it helped us to put food on the table and everything, or food on, feed their bellies. And then they found housing. And so she wanted to come back into the bookstore to say thank you to the bookstore for all of the help. And I thought that was just so, it was just something that I had brushed off or forgot about. And that was incredible. And then I saw her again, even like weeks after that, I was going to, one of the local churches, just to build a network there. And she was there and it felt like kismet. She's like, this is my neighborhood. This is my local church. And what I thought was so special about that story for me was that, the community building and the sense of solidarity that I've had built with her, and this sort of like, I was just kind of going through the motions at the time when I was helping her and really recognizing the real tangible help the bookstore provided for this mother. And I just thought that that's something that keeps me going with All Power all the time.
Thank you, Savannah. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, even if I can't think of like any particular moment, I that, you know, every day there are little moments that I think of when interacting with our neighbors or interacting with people who come in and just building those relationships. One neighbor I can think of in particular, Carlos, he is our like number one fan. I love him so much. You know, first started coming in a while back, and you know, it's funny because he kind of like described himself as a center right, you know, politically, and kind of, you know, very quick to say, oh, I'm not a socialist, but, you know, I really appreciate what you guys are doing. And over time, you know, he comes almost every day to just, you know, hang around, talk to us, and kind of just learn more about topics that, you know, he previously had some biases about. And now, you know, he comes to every single one of our events. He's excited about them. He asks about, you know, when is the next event that you're having? He says, you know, I really learned a lot at the, you know, the last event that you had. Like, I remember that when we had that, the Cuba report back earlier this year, he was extremely excited about it. He was talking about how good it was, how much he learned, and, you know, how much, like, he didn't know. And, you know, I think that is one of the most important things when doing this work, is being able to kind of form these relationships and, you know, show people that, you know, like, communists aren't, you know, like, the scary thing that people, you know, like, make us out to be. We're literally just human beings trying to make the world a better place. And I think from kind of forming those person-to-person relationships, they kind of are gradually do warm up, you know, to the ideas of, you know, like anti-capitalism, anti-imperialism, and, you know, are able to kind of like further, you know, like their learning from there or further their interest in topics like that, which I think is, you know, one of my favorite things about working here.
We love Carlos so much. Carlos is just absolutely, like, he's our biggest fan, but we're also his biggest fan. And now he comes in, before he was like, I'm conservative, I'm center right. And now he's like, I'm a socialist, make America pay reparations. And he's just totally has been absorbing all of the media that we've been putting out and reading all the books that we have and all the literature. And really just, he is a testament to showing kindness to people and seeing, you know, how they can grow from that.
That's so important. And I think you guys do that so well, is like putting a face to socialism and like putting like a human element behind it, as opposed to like some abstract idea. It's like, this is what it looks like. This is what a socialist can be like. It's very, very powerful. Natho, did you have any like stories from AP that you wanted to share? No pressure.
I don't have any specific stories, because I think, like Kat said, there's always something going on at All Power. Like, there's always little moments, there's always little snippets of like laughter or sadness or, you know, amazement. But I think, like, for me, it's like seeing some of the people that are or from the neighborhood that were like maybe like not familiar. Pat kind of touched upon that, but not familiar with the idea of socialism, and coming in and seeing them like change their mind, seeing them like develop into like different people and becoming like, you know, more involved into the community, more involved into what we do. I think that for me is like some of the best stories I can, you know, that I've seen and continue to see. And like, I'm sure there's more to come to in the future.
There's a, you know, I also really admire how you all deal with conflict in your space. And I think it's, you know, one thing to say like mutual aid and, you know, socialism in practice is all like all dandelions and roses. But, you know, it's like when it comes down to it, like we all are, you know, people, whether like we're in conflict or, you know, the people we're working with are like having a hard time. I don't remember exactly what was going on when I said all power, but there was a neighbor of yours who was having a bad day that came in, and the way that you all were able to navigate that situation, despite not knowing them well, it just really shows, like, when you extend, you know, care and understanding for people, how impactful that could be for them. So I don't know. This is something I really, really admire about your space and how you all do that work.
Thank you. I wanted to say something on that really quick, too, because it's just been nice with our conflict resolution. We got better at that because our neighbors became involved. What's really special about All Power is it's not just individuals. It's the entire neighborhood. It's just the whole movement. And we've definitely gotten to a point in the mutual aid where it's become mutual, in the sense that when we need community defense, the community does come together, and the community has rallied around other people in their community who are suffering. So it's just awesome to see that. Yes, a lot of it is All Power, negotiating the conflicts or whatever you call it, but a lot of times it's the neighborhoods helping themselves as well, and just using All Power as the access for that, which is really inspiring to see, because that's all what this is about, is just empowerment.
We are going to take a short break for music, but when we come back, we'll be talking about more about internationalism and Cuba and our trip to Cuba and what that meant for All Power. So you're listening to Code Pink Radio, coming to you through Pacifica Radio's WPFW in Washington, D.C., WBAI in New York City, KPFT in Houston, KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. We'll be right back after this break with our same guests.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. A new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free. Fly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world in a boat. Freedom is mine, and I know how.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Danica from Code Pink. You're listening to Code Pink Radio, presented by WBAI in New York City, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles. We're back with Kat, Nato, and Savannah of All Power Books. How are ya? So where do we leave off? we just talked about sort of, you know, stories from All Power. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, I met Savannah and Kat in Cuba on International Workers Day for the May Day Brigade with the International People's Assembly. So I'm wondering from you two, how did your trip to Cuba sort of inform your outlook on All Power, if it did at all?
There was something that, you know, I heard during one of our, you know, like multiple events that we, you know, did in Cuba, and one of, you know, the multiple like lectures and not lectures, but, you know, talks and groups that we met with, was that Cuba doesn't give what's left over. It gives what it has. And I thought that was so poignant. That was such like something that stuck with me, because, you know, we aren't trying to be a charity. We're not trying to, you know, like be like, oh, you know, this is, you know, like all of the extra things that we have. Well, we're going to give it out to you. We want to build community. We want to build those ties with the people that we are around. And, you know, it's not about giving them what we think that they need. It's about having these relationships and being like, you know, how can we help each other? What can, you know, we do to better each other? What can we work towards together? And I think that, you know, not only informs like my day-to-day at All Power, but just, you know, generally how I live my life now, with that idea in mind.
Definitely. And as, you know, as a communist bookstore, we read a lot about these liberation struggles throughout the world. And what I think is so, what was so poignant about going to Cuba was seeing the socialist project versus just reading about it. And when you see it, and you see the life and the passion and the dedication, of the people towards the project, it strengthens our commitments towards the work that we do in the United States. When you spend time in Cuba, you can't help but see the sacrifices people make to keep the project of socialism alive. And to me, as someone from the West and someone who benefits off of imperialism and, you know, all of the stuff that we have in the United States while Cuba is suffering under the blockade caused by us, it makes you just, it puts that fire under your butt and just wants you to work even harder. And, you know, make the sacrifices that people have made throughout history to push progress forward.
Thank you both. How do you feel like your work that, like, to people on the outside who aren't very familiar, that may seem like a purely local initiative, is influenced by global movements?
I can speak on this too, because yes, my partner Jesse and I travel a lot for work. We both work in the music industry, which has led us to be able to travel quite a bit. Something that I think was super, I guess, indicative of this question would be that, like, we recently went to, you know, we've obviously visited Cuba. We have comrades all over the world, in various countries, but we visited the Austrian Communist Party, the KPO, in Salzburg, and basically met up with them to build lines of solidarity, in learning from the source of these people who have actually made so many gains. I don't know if people are familiar with the gains of socialism in Austria. I don't usually look to Europe for inspiration for socialism, but it was actually pretty cool because they have a lot of the same conditions as we do here in Los Angeles. So they made so many gains in their party by advocating and organizing around housing. So I've, you know, when we meet people like that, we absorb all the information we can and we apply it to our local struggle. And that's what I think is important about All Power. A lot of people don't recognize is that we're constantly trying to build with international movements. And by building, we learn from them and take what we can and apply it to our own conditions, which I think is always important and effective to keep, you know, moving forward, as I keep saying.
Can you, Samantha, tell the listeners a little bit more about the like specific parallels between the you saw in Austria versus LA?
Yeah. So in Austria, like in most capitalist countries, they're having a housing crisis where the wages are staying low, but the rents are bumping up and up and up. And I think everyone knows that Los Angeles, much like many major cities in the United States, is incredibly expensive. Nobody gets paid enough to live here. And so when we went to Austria and saw that their Communist Party had actually made so many gains as to being put into a leadership position in their government. So the government of Graz, Austria, is actually led by a communist mayor. And that's just a crazy gain. And I was like, we have to look at this and learn, you know, in a modern way what we can do to make gains. Also, in their second largest city, Salzburg, they went from, I believe, I don't know the exact numbers, but they went from either 1% or 2% of the vote pre-pandemic, and then organized just like headstrong with the housing crisis and all of that, and doing labor tenants workshops and tenant strikes and stuff like that to actually make a gain of, I think, in 1 year up to, oh, I think like 20% of the vote, which is just phenomenal. And so learning from that is something that we can apply to what's going on in LA, because if, you know, we have such a strong tenants movement with LAWTU, our LAWTU chapters are just amazing. And they're also internationalists, and they're traveling all over to Venezuela, to Cuba, to Vietnam, all these different places, because everyone understands that it's not a distinctly American problem. It's a capitalist problem. And because the United States sort of, heads that pain on everyone, it's sort of like, gosh, I don't know where I was going with this. I'm so sorry. It's sort of, we are in the belly of the beast, so we still need to take what we can learn from other places and apply it to what we're doing here I'm sorry, I lost it.
No, oh, you're all good. God. You're all good.
It's gone.
Thank you. I actually did not know anything about the Austrian Communist Party, so that was very interesting. And sort of going off that a little bit, like, how would you say your work is like, would you say your work is rooted in any form of like anti-imperialism?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, talking to Nacho earlier, and he said something that really resonated with me, that, you know, we have more in common with the rest of the working class across the world than we have in common with, you know, the billionaires in America. And it is, you know, I mean, Nacho, I think that you can speak more on that, but, you know, it is very important to be rooted in internationalism and anti-imperialism. Nacho, if you want to say more on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious when you walk into All Power, you see different flags from different countries. You see, you know, the Palestinian flag, you see the Vietnam flag, you see the Haitian flag, you see the Cuban flag. So it's, we try to root our struggle in internationalism because, like Kat mentioned, like, you know, our struggles in the United States is not unique. We have more in common with the working class across the world than, you know, the billionaires and millionaires that, you know, are running not only the country, but running the world. So I think it's important to foster that idea of internationalism so people can, you know, understand that our struggle goes, is not only, you know, local, but it goes beyond the border of the United States. And I also think, like, because the U.S. is multinational, there's a lot of different people here. I think it's also important for people to see themselves in the struggle. It's important for people who are not necessarily from the U.S. like myself to be able to see, you know, myself, you know, struggling against U.S. imperialism, because I know that, like, you know, in a country like Haiti where I'm from, I know that a lot of the issues that we're facing is because of imperialism, of U.S. imperialism, of Europe meddling into our affairs. So it's important to, you know, make people understand that, like, our struggle are not only local, but it's also international, because we live in the belly of the beast. We have a responsibility to fight within and, you know, and kind of like cut the tentacles of imperialism, you know, that are spreading across the world.
And yeah. That's exactly it. I think all of us at All Power recognize that we live in the United States, which is the greatest purveyor of terror across the world. You know, we're in so many different proxy wars and economic wars. It's just insane. So we know as socialists that we have one job. As socialists inside of the belly of the beast, we have one job. And that job is to, you know, fight the bully. And so we have to put that front and center in our politics, because nothing, you know, we can't move the needle forward as long as the United States global capitalism and imperialism is continuously causing harm throughout the world. So it's just one of those things. We just actually had an event from a Venezuela brigade, people, comrades who went down there and met with other organizers down there as well. We constantly are having events to educate about struggles in Africa, struggles in Asia, struggles in Latin America. And we make sure that we represent most of the rest of the world. As Western socialists, we find that very important.
And I think, add on to what Nato said, you know, like, Nato, you know, has like a Haitian background. Two of us are Vietnamese, so, you know, our existence is like very deeply rooted in imperialism and, you know, the United States like meddling in other countries. And I think that bringing that perspective is also very important to a lot of the diaspora that lives in the United States that has been, you know, basically brainwashed and taught that, you know, the U.S. was correct in, you know, interfering in other countries and other governments. And, you know, like, especially for myself, being able to talk to other Vietnamese Americans and say, you know, like, what we were taught from our parents, what we were taught from schools, you know, is not necessarily like what is correct. And, you know, offering those different points of view and, you know, being able to, especially like, talk to comrades who do live overseas, like talking to comrades who live in Vietnam right now, and being able to share those perspectives and, you know, learn from them and amplify their voices, I think is extremely like important in the work that we do.
What do you think is one thing that you want people to know about like solidarity work and the solidarity work that you all do?
Well, I think that it's important to recognize the difference between solidarity and charity. I think we try to make that a point in everything that we do. It's very easy to get written off or to have mutual aid turn into a form of charity from top down. We make an effort to be so internationalist in everything that we teach and to empower the people who utilize our resources to be able to be a part of it, make decisions, and help volunteer and help serve as well, because you know, we're not trying to do a top-down charity situation. We need to empower the working class because we have been stripped away of so much of our autonomy and so much of our power. And, you know, throughout the past couple decades, we had a strong labor movement early. You know, America has a great history with communism and socialism, but it's definitely, you know, fighting against the strongest and most sophisticated propaganda machine that the world has ever seen. It's going to be hard to change the minds of people, especially after the Cold War. So we definitely need to show people that charity and nonprofits, those are not the way towards true liberation. And solidarity work doesn't mean that we have any sort of power or capital or success that we as volunteers at All Power have that we're handing out of the kindness of our hearts to either get to heaven or feel better about ourselves or anything like that. We are also in this struggle. And so we also have, you know, a dog in the fight, for lack of better terms. And this is something that we would consider a struggle, because it is, it's pain, it's trauma, it's, you know, working a shift after you've already worked a paid shift. It's, you know, constant struggle. It's, I don't want to say it's constant pain, but a lot of times solidarity work is, and I honestly feel very, very proud that, to pick up that the torch and to keep moving that along and to keep struggling and keep, you know, being in that fight towards socialism.
Thank you, Savannah. Nato or Kat, did you want to add anything?
I do echo Savannah's thoughts about, you know, it is a difficult thing to work towards. It is difficult work to do, but ultimately, you know, I think it is, you know, the only way that we can move forward in our goals is to, you know, constantly fight, constantly struggle. And, you know, again, echoing what she said about it being solidarity, not charity, and being able to, you know, work with people with a goal in mind and having, you know, like contextualizing the struggles that we all share. And, you know, I think a lot of the community members that we work with do, you know, have already radical ideas because of their lived experiences. It's not like, you know, this is something new to them. They have, you know, we have all experienced the struggle of living in the Imperial Core. And I think what is really important about the solidarity work is, you know, building upon that context and building upon their lived experiences and connecting it to, you know, imperialism and capitalism and, you know, everything as a whole, and not, you know, just letting it be like, oh, you're struggling, let us, you know, give you something. It's more of like, oh, you're struggling, why are you struggling? What has, you know, contributed to the struggling? What, you know, do you have in common with other people that are struggling? You know, how can we work towards a goal and, you know, a system under which they're not struggling? And being able to kind of like build those connections to, you know, like the system that we live under at large, I think is extremely important. And, you know, what I think needs to be a main tenet of solidarity work.
And something I wanted to add on there that is actually one of my favorite quotes is, I believe it's by Hildur Kamada, where he said, "When I give food to the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask why they are poor, they call me a communist." And I feel like that encapsulates all of the work that we do. We don't just help, but we also ask why, and we try to find the roots of those problems, and we organize to fight against those.
What's the end goal for All Power Books? Is there one?
I would say that I think the end goal is just to empower the working class, take back your power. We want to build towards a socialist United States, and we believe in that. We believe that it's possible and inevitable. So I believe that that's our end goal. I'm sure Kat and Nato feel the same, and I'd like to hear what they say about it, because I'm talking too much.
I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, at large, our goal is, you know, working towards a socialist future and, you know, doing all that we can to try to get to that goal, which, like, you know, either building community or doing political education, or, you know, like, even just, you know, like, talking to our neighbors has always had that end goal in mind of building towards socialism.
So we're going to wrap up here, but, I want to thank all three of you for being here. And, you know, the holidays are coming up. My favorite thing to do during the holidays is, buy stuff from organizations and bookstores that I support. So I want to say we're recording this on Zoom, and so they can see it, but the people listening can't see it. I have All Powers art up on my walls. They have very cool art and prints that you can buy. They have books, obviously, and they have very cool merchandise and t-shirts. I have their tote bag I take with me everywhere I go. I've bought the tote bag for a bunch of people that I know, and they take it everywhere they go. So that's one way you can support All Power. But I also want to ask the All Power people, how can people support All Power Books?
I mean, definitely, you know, monetary assistance, like buying our merch, is definitely very important, because, you know, unfortunately, we have to pay rent and pay utilities. And, you know, that is definitely a great way to help monetarily. But also, you know, other than finances, you know, people coming in and coming to us with projects or ideas, or, you know, what they would like to see in the space, or what they would like to help with in the space. You know, like, we have had people coming in and being like, oh, I want to do a reading group here, or, oh, I want to do, you know, like a Spanish conversation class here. And I think that is extremely important, because, you know, we want to foster a space where other people can come in and see their, you know, projects and ideas flourish. And being able to, like, utilize our space to do so. So, you know, I would really, like, love more people to come in and be like, hey, I want to do this class. Is this something that I can do here? Or, you know, coming to us with just, you know, ideas at large, because that, I think, is part of building towards the socialist future, is, you know, like, education and workshops and, you know, community building and, you know, We love when other people want to, you know, have an idea that they want to get off the ground and use our space to work towards it.
Yeah, we take financial contributions through ko-fi.com/allpowerbooks. We also take Cash App and Venmo at All Power Books. We love accepting donations in store of clothing, food, shelf stable food and products, laundry detergent, cleaning products, household items, stuff like that, during our store hours. And we always love to add more volunteers to our mix. We do a grocery distro every Saturday where we hand out free groceries. And just any way that anyone can help, we're really just open-minded to that.
Yeah, if I can just add one more thing, I think just to kind of like finalize all the points, I think the monetary contribution is very important, because, you know, we do live in a capitalist society. We have to, I think it's important to keep the space alive, because we need these kind of spaces like All Power Books to be able to not only organize, but also, you know, do political education, to be able to meet other organizers as well. So I think, like, having a space like All Power is essential to not only building socialism in Los Angeles, in the United States in general, but it's important have that, to see that things can be different. You know, it creates like a different reality when people enter this space. And I think it's also important, what Kat, you know, also highlighted, having people that can come in and help us build All Power, help us, you know, become better, help us improve, help us, you know, get better with, like, social media stuff. Even if it's just like, hey, you know, I have an idea of, like, reorganizing this space so it could look better. You know, it's stuff like that, stuff that can help us become more efficient in our processes, are things that we're also looking for, besides, like, the monetary additions.
Well, thank you to Savannah, Nato, and Kat for joining from All Power Books in Los Angeles. And thank you all for listening to Code Pink Radio, presented by WBAI in New York City, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFT in Houston, and KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Thank you so much, Danica, and thank you to all our friends from All Power Books in L.A. for this amazing conversation. We just heard them talk about the lessons that we can learn from Cuba in mutual aid and internationalism. And I just wanted, before we go, to present myself. I'm Michelle Elner. I'm part of the Latin America campaign for Code Pink. And I am very excited to announce that Liz Oliva Fernandez from Belly of the Beast, she's an award-winning Cuban journalist, she has begun a nationwide screening tour this October and November. She will be presenting two of their latest documentary films called Uphill on the Hill and Hardliner on the Hudson. In Uphill on the Hill, Liz exposes the political interests driving the U.S. government's Cold War era towards Cuba. And in Hardliner on the Hudson, Liz goes to Union City, New Jersey, where she looks into the murky past of Senator Bob Menendez and reveals how he became the de facto power broker for Biden's Cuba policy. So if you are in Washington, D.C. on October 6th, please join us at Busboys and Poets from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Busboys and Poets on 2021 14th Street, to see these documentaries that expose what's driving Cuba policy under Biden, right? And please check out our website at www.codepink.org/Cuba, where you will find all our campaigns, all our events, including a list of all the cities where Liz will be touring. And if you haven't, Please sign our petition. We're trying to get 1 million signatures to tell the Biden administration to take Cuba off the list, off the state sponsor of terrorism list, because we know that Cuba is not a sponsor of terrorism. Cuba's a sponsor of hope, of healthcare. It's a testament to the power of solidarity, as we heard from Danica and her guests today. So please, again, go to our website, www.codepink.org/Cuba. Thank you.
Danny Bush knows the Carlyle Group since years before been raking in billions and itching for more.
It's blood for oil, we know there's a link.
They say Code War,
we say Code Pink.
It's blood for oil, we know there's a link. They say Code War,
we say Code Pink.
Code Pink for freedom, Code Pink for peace, Code Pink till hunger and war have ceased. Code Pink for women. Trained him to be a man when our enemy was not Iraq but Iran.
They feed you lies, don't want you to think.
They say Code Terror,
we say Code Pink.
They feed you lies, don't want you to think. They say Code Terror,
we say Code Pink.
Tell our speech, our movement, our rights, but we won't give up.
We're about to fight with the wave of the flag, our liberty shrink.
They say Code Fear,
we say Code Pink.
With the wave of the flag, our liberty shrink. They say Code Fear,
we say Code Pink.
Code Pink for freedom, Code Pink for peace, Code Pink till hunger and war have ceased. Code Pink for women, boys, men, and girls together.
WBAI's local station board, the Pacifica Foundation board responsible for local management and operations, is holding its next regular meeting on Wednesday, October 11th at 7 p.m. And in addition, this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., before the local station board convenes, WBAI management will hold a question and answer session, taking questions from listeners. This is the first LSB meeting after the expected announcement of WBAI election results. Again, the LSB meeting is Wednesday, October 11th at 7 p.m. And this Wednesday, it will be preceded by a 6:30 p.m. question and answer session where management will take questions from listeners. The meeting and Q&A session will be held through the Zoom remote meeting service. The LSB meeting, accessible to the public, includes an opportunity for public comment. The fastest and easiest way to join the meeting and or the preceding Q&A session is by using the link on the Pacific calendar at kpftx.org and on the WBAI website. You can also access them both by calling 929-205-6099. That's 929-205-6099 and enter this meeting ID, 922-457-2995. The meeting ID again, 922-457-2995. And as if that wasn't enough numbers, we also have a password. The password is 995, like WBAI's frequency. So it's 995-995-99. Do you have to contribute to WBAI to access the meeting or the Q&A? No, but we sure hope that you do. I thank you.
WBAI New York, and did you access the meeting? Did you participate in the meeting that was 6:30 yesterday? I hope you did. And did you get all of those numbers for yesterday's meeting? I hope you got all of that information. But if you missed it, like I did, I missed it. You can go to our archives. WBAI has archives of all of their programs. So if you missed that yesterday at 6:30 p.m., you can go to the WBAI website. It's WBAI.org, and you can listen again. And as Max said, as he said to you, do you have to be, ask the question, do you have to be a member? No, you don't. But we sure hope that you will. And that's how we have remained in the center of the FM dial in New York City since 1960, because people like you have made the contribution, made the commitment to support this radio station so that you can continue to have programs like Code Pink Radio, like Equal Rights and Justice, like Democracy Now!, like What's Going On, and all of the programs that you hear on WBAI 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since 1960. This is thanks to you. It's 11 o'clock here in New York City on a Thursday morning at 99.5 FM WBAI. Coming up next is Joy of